Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As you heard me say a few minutes ago, the D.C. Metro could be in for the first winter weather of the season. Snow and freezing weather could cause you problems for your home. From frozen pipes to falling trees, you could be in for unpleasant surprises when you file a homeowner's insurance claim. Well, tonight, we're going to tell you what you need to know about your insurance policy. My guest is Attorney Chip Merlin, author of Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company. This is the perfect time to get your questions answered about homeowners insurance policies. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Chip, thanks for joining the conversation.
Harold, great to be here with you.
So let's start with first things. Even before you have to file a claim, what should you do? Should you read your policy?
The truth is, if most people read their insurance policy, they wouldn't even understand it. And so what I tell people, and I think the best advice, is make certain that you get a great insurance agent that knows your life, knows your lifestyle, knows what you own, knows whether or not you're an owner or a renter, a businessman, where you are, if you're older and you have all kinds of stuff, or if you're young. All these things mean something to a professional insurance agent. And so the first great advice is don't get an insurance agent because of something on the internet. Don't get an insurance agent because of you play golf with them. Get an insurance agent that's got great qualifications, that can spend some time with you so you go through these policies, because the truth of the matter is most people don't understand the insurance policy they got. And even if you read the policy, you wouldn't understand all the gaps and what might be missing, because you don't do this for a living. And this is what great insurance agents do. And I know that in this day and age, to tell somebody, really, you know, not off the internet, no. Go get somebody who's really educated, a professional. And the truth of the matter is those types of people also will look out for the best types of buys that you can get in insurance.
So how do you pick an insurance agent and policy for your home?
Yeah, and if it's for your home, you know, one of the things, most people buy their insurance based on their advertisements. Save 15% with GEICO, all these great progressive things. Yeah, all USAA, they take care of everybody, you know, in the military. And the truth of the matter is that might work out for some people just fine, and it might work out for years and years, because most of the time we don't have a claim. And the problem is when you do have a claim and you have Swiss cheese insurance, and what I mean, coverage that really doesn't match up with what you need because somebody didn't spend some time and explain things to you. And especially, like I gave somebody an example today. I said, what happens if you open up your own, you know, one of your rooms is a business? Now, does your insurance company cover you for that room that's really dedicated to being your home office? Some insurance policies exclude for it. Some don't. Some you need to get extra coverage for it. Some don't. You know, all these little things mean something depending upon the insurance company, what the policy says. And the truth is, you don't know. So when I tell people to look for great insurance agents, what I mean, it's sort of like a doctor's got MD after their name, and then you look and see, oh, they're also board certified in something. Insurance agents have the same thing, too. And if they have a whole bunch of letters after their name, that's a good start. And the other thing is look for leaders in the industry, or leaders in the industry that are also have insurance agents and people that they're mentoring. Because you know those people have a higher standard with respect to what they're trying to do to help people in the long run. And they look at their customers in terms of not just being, I'm going to try to make a whole bunch of money this year on this person, but a long-term relationship where they're not worried about that, but instead taking care of the person as you get older. And typically as we get older, there's all kinds of different things that happen to you. If you get divorced, if you buy a bigger home, if you start a business, if you sell your business, if you buy a second house somewhere. All these things mean something to insurance agents, and most of us never, ever think about it and the implications it might have with your insurance coverage until you have a claim, and at that time it's too late to change your policy.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your homeowner's insurance policy. We are just ahead of winter weather, and that could be problematic when the snow comes, when the freezing rain comes, when trees fall. If you have a comment or a question about your insurance policy, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Chip, you've raised a lot of questions for me.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, I have a Geico or a State Farm or a USAA. Can I pick an agent to go over my policy with me outside of my company and tell me what I have and what I don't have without necessarily worrying about that agent trying to get me to switch insurance policies?
You know, that's a great question. Like with Geico, you have to call a switchboard to find out where they're at, you know, versus State Farm they call them independent agents, but truly all they can sell is State Farm insurance. And they will sell you the State Farm product, and they'll explain to you the State Farm products that are out there. And they will also be able to explain to you, and most of the time, the State Farm products also have endorsements that add coverages that you might need depending upon, you know, where you're at, what your circumstances are. And it just depends. Now, you ask me, can another person give a second opinion on that? They can, and they can quote other coverage to you and give other advice. Eventually, if you're a business owner, a small business owner, somebody's going to be your insurance agent of record, and they'll actually have a paper that you'll sign, this is my insurance agent of record. Otherwise, they don't want to spend the time of day trying to get your work. And the truth of the matter is most insurance agents compete on price. And what do I mean by that? I mean that, hey, let me take a look at your insurance and see if I can save you some money.
Right.
And that's easy to do, especially when you sell an inferior product. It doesn't mean you have the same coverage. And so that, you know, are you buying, it's sort of like, you're buying an orange for, you know, 25 cents. Let me see if I can sell you an orange for 22 cents. Well, is it really as good an orange as the other one? And how do you know? And that's the problem with insurance. You know, insurance is one of the craziest products that you actually paid all this money and you don't get the product back. And after you give the insurance company, they don't give you the insurance policy until after you buy it. It is a crazy product. And there's a lot of discussion lately with academics saying, you know, especially in the digital age, why don't insurance companies put up all their products and compare the products one to another rather than just compare each other on price in these gimmicky ads out there that are funny as can be. Don't get me wrong. They are funny as can be and all these things, but they really don't talk about what the product is that the person's buying. And so people will look at that and from a brand image go out and, oh, let me call Progressive. They cover everybody and all this kind of stuff. Well, do they really? And, you know, I gave a recent example with Farmers Insurance Company in Pennsylvania where they took a very harsh position in court. Of course, they're not going to put this on an advertisement to say that people are really going to get a depreciated type of insurance product. And when I say things like this, Farmers Insurance agents aren't happy with Chip Merlin with being transparent and telling everybody what the fine print says. But most people really don't understand because unless you study insurance, how would you know that these little fine changes in words, what they mean and what the implications are of what you get paid? So, again, insurance, go find a really professional agent. I typically suggest for people to get an independent agent, have them shop the markets out there for you for your particular circumstances, looking for the best product you have so that you don't end up when there's a loss, you know, having a problem with your coverage and the rest of the time at least getting a fair shake with respect to the insurance that's out there, knowing that you have peace of mind that if something were to happen, you do have the coverage.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about insurance. Specifically, we're going to talk about homeowners insurance because this is the time of year that we see a lot of claims because of winter weather damage. Shanita, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you all doing? Thank you. I'm really glad you're having this discussion. kind of been going through this with car insurance, but I guess my question for our guest today, homeowners insurance. So as I'm a new homeowner, even before I go to closing, I wanted to know what should I be reviewing with my insurance agency with insuring my home, especially with the winter coming on. What are some things that I need to be looking out for to ask that agent? Because they don't, I just realized, they don't tell you up front everything that you're getting or what you're not covered with.
You know, and if you're just buying a home, and this is a great time to ask before I move in, I'm about to buy a home, what can I do to, if I purchase this home, this is what it looks like, is there anything I can do before I move in? Just a little bit extra that I, you might even be able to get it financed. And this is the reason why it's an opportune time. That do I need to put some type of storm shutters up? Should I put some extra security thing up on my home that I don't have before? All these things mean something to insurance companies, because if you can lower, because you invest more in your new home that you're just about to buy, that will lower the risk to the insurance company about having a loss. That means something to the insurance company itself. They will lower your premium. Yeah, and that's important to you. And for what it's worth, making certain that you, if you're just buying a home and it's a home, you have to have a conforming conforming insurance policy that conforms with the Fannie Mae or the Freddie Mac requirements of a full replacement cost insurance policy that will cover everything at replacement cost. Now, most good insurance agents know to do this, but we've been finding in some areas, not necessarily Washington, D.C., but in some areas of the Midwest where all of a sudden hail storms are coming along, people aren't getting sold replacement cost policies for their roof. They're getting paid actual cash value. So that as the roof gets old, and all of a sudden they get this huge hail damage claim, they don't have the full amount of money. They get a depreciated amount of money back from the insurance company, and they have to come out of pocket thousands and thousands of dollars. It's actually one of the biggest problems that we're trying to address right now with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners to prevent insurance companies from calling their product true replacement cost policies when they're not. You know, so when you talk to your agent, and the first thing is pick a great agent, tell them what your circumstances are, can you afford to upgrade or not with anything whatsoever. And so that it might, if you make that investment, it will reduce your premium for a long time as well as give you a greater peace of mind. Wouldn't you want to have great security for your home? And that means a lot with respect to the risks with respect to theft, as well as liability risks. You know, if there's anything that you can do that might reduce the amount of water damage by maybe making some older pipes in a particular home newer, you know, at that time, what are you going to do if you're before you move in to make this newer, better? And the insurance company will reward you, so to speak, for that, because if their risk of losing money is less, they're like a bookie, they'll charge you less for it. Congratulations to you for getting that new home, and it's a great time to think about what you might want to do even before you move in. You know, the best time to have any type of remodeling done is when you first buy a home or right after you might have a catastrophe or a loss. You know, and there's a lot of goals.
Real quick, Chip, why is that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Why do you say that? Real quick, before I go to the next call.
Yeah, first of all, you haven't moved in, so you can make a lot of the changes, you know, beforehand. You might be able to finance it and actually reduce your insurance cost. But at the time of the loss, you know, people might insure for 20, 30, 40 years. Things get outdated. Things change. You know, you never really liked the wall that was right there. You wanted to knock it out. So you have a big, grand kitchen area, you know, a more modern. Tastes change with respect to the way buildings are. And you don't have to rebuild exactly back the way it was. Many insurance companies don't say this. You get a theoretical amount to put the money back the way it was, but you don't have to rebuild it back the way it was. And if it's going to add especially market value to your home, you want to make the remodeling that's more modern. It's better for you. It adds value to your home. And so, you know, if you do unfortunately have a major loss that ever happens, that's the best time to think about remodeling, because you can use the insurance monies that you get to help you do it and actually add value to your property.
Okay. Sharnita, thank you so much for your phone call. We're talking about insurance tonight, your insurance policies, particularly ahead of this winter weather season. What you need to know, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sib, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, how you doing?
I'm doing real fine.
Good, man. Good to see you, hear you on the air. So I know, Harold, you started off by talking about policy, but your guest, with all due respect, you're all over the place, man. You got a lot of information you're throwing at us, and it's not very easy for me to – I mean, I'm a homeowner for a long time. I know what you're talking about, but I think we might need to step back to the first thing that you said about finding a good agent. Well, the first thing to me is, like, how do you know how to find a good agent with all – you know, who's honest, who's this and that, the other thing? I mean, then the policy comes later, right? So my thing is, please tell us, how do I know – to how to shop for a good agent, what to look for in an agent.
I'll give you an example. Suppose I'm living in Northern Virginia, let's just make it up, Fairfax County, okay? If I was to start there, I would start and I would go Insurance Agent Association Fairfax County. And it might have a Fairfax County Insurance Association's agent. Now, who am I going to hire? I would then go through and I would look on there, who are their leaders? You know, who are the officers? These are people typically that are most interested in their trade, in their profession. They're the ones that are teaching. And I would even go through, you know, the association teachers and things like that. I would Google it. I would call them up, look up their agencies, see what kind of credentials they got. I would give them a phone call. I would literally tell them, I heard this attorney, Chip Merlin, in this book, Pay Up, say, if you find the people that spend the time, that are the best educators, that are most respected, that are the leaders in the field, I should look you up. And am I the type of person, you know, that would be a good customer for you?
Chip, hold your point.
Chip,
hold your point. I've got to take a break. But real quick, if someone wanted to look that up, what is the website that you were talking about?
Well, I would literally go to Google, Yahoo, or some search engine, and I would literally type in Fairfax County Insurance Agent Association.
Okay, let me stop you there. Insurance Agent Association, wherever you live. I appreciate that. Hold on. I've got to take a break. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. The Original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about insurance information you need to know, particularly ahead of the winter season. My guest is attorney Chip Merlin, author of Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company. Okay, so real quick, because Sib was making a really important point, and I've got a lot of information that I definitely want to get to, because it sounds to me as if you, when you search for an insurance agent, that it's kind of like finding a financial advisor, where you're looking again at, you know, at their credentials and trying to figure out whether or not they can help you find a policy or help you with your existing policy. Is that the best thing that you're suggesting?
Most professional insurance agents that are really good are going to have markets that they can take care of their clients, and certainly homeowners insurance is one of them, depending upon where their clients are at. And so during, you know, I just quickly went to Google Northern Virginia Insurance Agents Association, and I come up with insurance agents of Virginia names chairman, the board of directors.
Okay.
You know, and so all of a sudden I'm finding the name of a person, Douglas B. McGill of McLean Insurance Agency Board. He's a third generation insurance agent. He's the chairman of this and they name the other people that are leaders.
Okay.
I would literally go through and see which of those people look like, boy, that's an agency that I'd like to see. They have the qualifications. They're leaders in their field. When you find leaders in their field, you're not dealing with schlocks. These are people that really have interest in what they are doing and want to do a great job. They want to promote their profession. They want to promote their agencies and things like that. They want to take care of their customers. Those are the true professionals that you should be looking for.
All right, let me go to another phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Blondie calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Blondie. What's on your mind? Blondie, are you there? Blondie? Do we have Blondie? Okay, Blondie, look, give me a call back if you can. I want to move on to some other important things because, I mean, we can certainly talk the entire time about finding an insurance agent. Assuming, of course, that like so many people who don't have an insurance agent that they can call, when you're looking at your insurance policy, what should you look for when it comes to deductibles or exclusions or limitations and the like?
Well, when I tell people and they read their own insurance policy, I actually start from the very basics. Are they actually covering you? Does it have your name in there, and do you own the property? And I know that sounds crazy, but some people actually buy property in the names of a corporation or a family trust, and it doesn't have your name on it. A lot of people take over mom or dad's home.
Let me stop you there. Hold on, Chip.
Yeah.
Let us assume that that is not the case.
Okay.
Let us assume that, like the caller from D.C., Shanita, that she's buying the house. She owns the house. Let's not get too far down into the weeds about Uncle Ted's house or Grandma's house. Let's just talk about home ownership. You know you own the house.
The next thing for her is to make sure it's insured for the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does, and that's a real hard amount. I mean, that you're supposed to insure for the full replacement cost, and that's not necessarily what's. It's not fair market value. It's what it would cost to rebuild it, which is often a lot more than what a appraiser might put for a replacement cost on the home, and sometimes it could be greater or less than what the fair market value is on your appraisal, because if they include the land value. You could have a land value of $3 million, but it's only $1 million. It could be $300,000 for a home or $300,000 for the land and the home, but $100,000 for the home, right? And so trying to figure out what the exact amount of the full replacement cost value, and the statistics are 70% of all homes are underinsured. And they're not underinsured by just a little. They're underinsured by like 25%.
How do you know that? I mean, how do you know if your home is underinsured?
That is a hard question, and it varies from place to place, and it varies then from, you'll love this, if you have a major catastrophe. In Washington, D.C., you know, most of the time there's not huge fires like wildfires that all of a sudden are going to increase the amount of demand for reconstruction, whereas if you live out in California where you have 200 homes, or in the Southeast where you have 1,000 homes that might get wiped out from a hurricane in California, might be a wildfire, you have a huge increase in cost. Some insurance companies will actually give you a guaranteed replacement cost that if you allow them to come out and inspect your home and they tell you what the value is, even if it costs more than that, no matter what the value is, they will pay for this guaranteed replacement cost because it is a very difficult number, you know, to determine by an individual to do it. And so you want to put the risk, if you can, on the insurance company. And so those insurance companies that will go out, send somebody out, take a look at it and say, well, if you insure for this amount, we will provide you true guaranteed replacement cost. And some have semi-guaranteed replacement costs that'll pay 125% over whatever you put for the policy limits just to make certain you've got enough. That's important. In an area like Washington, D.C., where you have a lot of homes that are older and they were built with older building codes, it is very, very important that most people go out and buy what's known as ordinance and law coverage. And this pays for the increased costs when you have to build your home back because of a disaster that might happen, but you have to build it back to the new codes that weren't in existence at the time, and it costs a lot more money. And my typical, what I tell, the older the home, especially those that are older than 20 years, you've got to buy more and more and more ordinance and law coverage, and don't let that go by. It means a lot you know, for homes that are especially older than 20 years.
So let me ask you about that. And I'll give you an example of my home. So I live in Baltimore. And I've had my home for 20 years. But my home is 83 years old, and my home is made of brick and stone. Okay? So, but my policy is more than my replacement cost on my policy is more than three times the amount that I paid for it. And more than 2.5 times the cost of my most recent appraisal this year. Is that a good thing?
Some insurance companies actually would be concerned about you for insuring way more than what the market value might be, because it does give somebody who of bad character an impetus to go ahead and, well, why don't I just destroy my home and I'll get all this insurance money.
Yeah, I can't do that. My house is connected to a neighbor that I really like, so I won't be doing that. But
Harold, statistically, right. You know, statistically, people think about this, and we went back 120 years ago. They had all these newspaper articles out there that talked about why we can't allow a replacement cost policy to be sold for that. As we found out, you know what? Most people don't do this. The vast majority, nobody does this. As a matter of fact, the reason why people have insurance at replacement cost is because your mortgage company requires you to have it at replacement cost.
So my question is that a good thing?
It depends if you want to go rebuild and stay right in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, if you want to stay there and rebuild at your place and stay in that neighborhood, and it means a lot for a lot of people. You've been there for 20 years. I don't want to move somewhere else. If my house burns down, I want to be able to rebuild and be there all over again. And if you don't buy that replacement cost policy, you're not going to be able to do that. And that's the reason why they started selling replacement cost policies in the late 1940s, as well as to satisfy the bank's requirements that everybody go do it to protect the collateral. So that if you want to stay there, Harold, you can stay there. Now, I'm going to tell you, you think that it could cost a lot more to go do brand new. And some of those new homes, I bet, in your neighborhood, they've cost a lot more to go rebuild. But if you want to stay in that neighborhood, and you want to rebuild. Now, I will say, you don't have to rebuild exactly the way it was.
Right.
You know, and there might be certain things you have to do to conform to in all kinds of communities. You know, I'm thinking like Old Town Virginia, which is historic. You know, it has to be brick with a certain thing and things like that. On the inside, though, it's all kinds of different ways. But most of the time today, you have all these new energy requirements that we've got that your older home might not have. And that's one of the reasons why I say, you know, when you have a loss and now you got to rebuild your windows, your attic space, everything else,
right,
comply with the new energy codes that we have, it could cost a lot more to make, even to rebuild it exactly back the way it used to be. And if you don't have that right type of coverage with the agent advising you to have it, you will be out if you have a major loss.
So let me talk about some other issues, because, again, when you're talking about someone who is buying a, whether it's a brand new home or an older home, what other kinds of coverage? I mean, you mentioned, for example, you know, ordinance and law coverage, but what about some of the more standard coverages that we've heard so much about, like flood insurance, for example? Do you recommend that? And are there other kinds of related natural disaster insurances that we should be aware of?
So everybody should be aware that your standard homeowner's insurance policy doesn't pay for flood insurance. It also doesn't pay for earthquake insurance. And that's not such a big thing maybe in Washington, D.C., you know, but it might be a big thing even if you don't think about it down in South Carolina, you know, where they actually have a lot of earthquakes and people don't think about it. They don't happen all the time. Or where fracking might be going on in areas of Pennsylvania and Maryland and things like that. And so if you have a home, a second home out there, you never thought about earthquake insurance in Pennsylvania. There's no earthquake. Well, there are because of fracking that's going on, and we've had a number of fracking insurance claims. You have to buy an endorsement above that. But the biggest one that most people miss is the fact that your standard homeowner's policy doesn't cover for flood. And Chip, what do you mean by flood? It could be the storm surge that comes from a hurricane. It could be from the backup of the rivers. You know, when you have a hurricane or something major catastrophe, Superstorm Sandy is a great example. You know, 20 miles inland, people were getting flooded, you know, and it wasn't, they're 20 miles inland from the coast. They never thought about, well, the river's going to back up this far and now cause it, the floodwaters from a river to go in over a mile away and into their home. And the truth of the matter is flood insurance for people that are not close to the rivers and things like that is one of the cheapest insurances you can get, because chances are one in 200 years it's never going to happen to you. One in 100 years it's not. So the insurance is pretty cheap, but people didn't go out and buy it. I've had in Florida where it's really flat, or Texas, we've had people on golf courses go out and buy flood insurance. And when it rains too much, days after days, like 3 days in a row of rain and there's no way for the water, all of a sudden they have this, it looks like a pond, but part of the water is going into their home. If you have national flood insurance coverage, you actually have coverage. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it.
So here's another question for you.
To look for flood, you need to look for flood insurance.
So here's another question for you. You mentioned earthquake insurance. Is that the same thing as earth movement?
Yeah. Most policies today exclude for earth movement. Okay. And
yeah, I found that.
And I could go back and forth on this. So you'll love this. State Farm Insurance Company forever until about 20 years ago insured for earth movement if it was a caused by man-made causes. So that if you're next to a road, God knows, especially up in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, with all the road construction that's going on everywhere, they're always building roads. And when they're doing it, it starts shaking the ground, and the next thing you know, you got cracks in your foundation. People would make claims for that. Well, eventually the insurance companies go, well, tell you what, we're going to change our insurance policy, so we're going to change the clause and say if it's natural or man-made, so we have earth movement that's natural or man-made, we won't cover for it. And so not a lot of insurance companies won't pay for it, like State Farm won't pay. But the insurance agent, when you're at State Farm, they're not going to stand up and tell you, hey, if you have this happen to you, we don't cover for that. But if you go to this other insurance company, they do. And that's how come I tell people it all starts with knowing your insurance agent.
Okay. So here's another question. Obviously, we are still in the midst of a pandemic.
Yes.
With businesses having their employees at home, are there any kinds of insurance policies that homeowners should look into if they are now working at home?
So this goes both ways for the employer as well as the employee, okay? So the employee that has all of their business and they're using a home, like right now I'm talking to you from a home office. Am I covered for the additional amount of equipment that I've got here so that I can, you know, visually see people, talk to people, all the extra computers that I've got, and think, is that actually do I have enough insurance to cover for all this? And some insurance policies will cover, homeowners policies will cover for that. Some absolutely exclude it. Some cover for up to $1,500. So the question is, do you have enough insurance, you know, that will cover for you one way or another? For the business owners, especially small business owners, hey, are you certain that your workers' compensation insurance coverage, it should, in most states it does, cover you for your employees no matter where they're at and no matter where they're working, even if they're from home? And so that, you know, if at 10 o'clock in the morning your employee gets up and goes, I need to take a coffee break, goes down there and trips over the kid's toy on the way to get the coffee, is that a workers' compensation claim or not? Those are good questions if you're a business owner, to ask your agent to make certain you have the right insurance coverage. That's typically governed under state law, depending upon where you're at. But all these questions, you know, Harold, it's a great question. And again, a lot of times the answer is you got to read the insurance policies that you buy. And that's become, people only come to me, Chip Merlin, when there's a problem. our insurance company's not paying the claim. Chip, can you make them pay the claim? Can you make them pay up? That's what I do for a living. You know, but if you want to avoid that, one of the best things you can do is make certain you have an insurance agent that thinks about these things and goes through those in their discussion with you. And so when I told you, you know, hey, do you have an agent that's going to spend some time with you talking about your particular life, what it is like where you work, where you play, do you have one or two houses, are you a snowbird or not? All kinds of crazy things like that all come into, do you have a home in Baltimore that's 20 years old? Is there an energy code there? Insurance agents are actually trained to think about that, and they will talk to you about it and talk about the need to get that extra insurance for you. And so that you don't get denied these things, and I'm in a position of trying to make a very hard argument for you.
All right, so again, if you are working from home and you have equipment, and it's a laptop or a printer or something that may be standard in an office, if it is damaged, wouldn't that be covered under personal property insurance?
It is, but the problem is, just like people that work as mechanics and bring their tools home with them, many insurance policies limit your business personal property, that property that you use for business purposes, to $500, $1,000 to $1,500. And so I can't tell you how many claims I've had. It used to be with a lot of mechanics that would take their tools home, and they would use them at home and also at business. Now, is it a business product or is it a home product? Now we have people that are using, what is it, your laptop? Is it the company's laptop? There's all these computers and all this extra, you know, business stuff that you have working at your home. Is it business? Are you using it for business purposes rather than your personal? And some insurance policies make limitations for that. Absolutely. And so you got to look at your insurance policy, talk, make certain you have enough coverage for that. I literally, just looking around, it adds up quick when you have some more high-end equipment. You know, next thing you know, you have $5,000 into, you know, equipment at your home. Many people don't have something like that, but really, add up your desk. Is your desk always, yes. What about the chair? You know, what about the computers, obviously, the lights, everything else that goes into it? You know, it can add up pretty quick for your, you know, business personal property that many insurance companies will have limits that they will pay for. So they'll say, yep, we'll pay for it, but up to $500. Sorry, you're done.
So here's a question.
Additional coverage.
Here's a question for you. You said that, you know, in your business, people hire you to make insurance companies pay up. At what point is it worth it to find an insurance troubleshooter such as yourself to get an insurance company to pay up what you believe you deserve? Is that really cost effective? Aren't we talking about a major insurance case where a tree falls on your roof? And the roof costs, let me just throw this out, $20,000 to replace, and the company is only going to give you $10,000, and so you would be out another $10,000. Is it cost effective to hire a Chip Merlin?
Well, Harold, you know, I've had nine-figure claims. I represented the Port of New Orleans with $132 million paid. I also represented a little old lady with a hole in her muffler with her car for $49.50. You know, and we have 64 attorneys in our firm, and what we do is protect policyholders. We try to find a way, if we can, whether you're super rich or not. And, you know, every claim's a little bit different. I will say this, and I give some instructions. You know, if it's a smaller claim, especially the first entity you should call is the Department of Insurance. There's actually, most of the time, there's a budgetman, regulators, people that will help you out. If you will make the telephone call, the insurance company's too slow, not taking care of you, denying the claim wrongfully, especially if it's a health insurance claim. We find that three-quarters of the people that are at the Departments of Insurance are helping people on their insurance claims because that is so technical, and they're trying to help the doctors just to get paid, but for heaven's sake, if it's a smaller claim or something you need payment right away, make a call to the Department of Insurance. A lot of those people actually are looking to help out the consumer. And sometimes that's not said, and sometimes I come down hard on them, but they're there and they're people that really want to help others out that way. You know, if that doesn't work and it's more serious, and I say that the higher it goes with respect, the more money that's at stake, the more you need to start thinking about, do I need to call a lawyer, and what would a lawyer go do? And I, you know, part of the reason for me writing the book is educating people about what do you go do? What do you need to go do? Who can you go see? And don't be afraid. The insurance company is banking that 80% of the people that they deny claims to will say, it's not worth it. You can't fight City Hall. Who wants to deal with a lawyer? I mean, seriously.
Hold on, Chip. Chip. Let me ask you this, because this has to do with something that you just said. If you have an insurance company that you have been happy with for years, for decades, in fact, and all of a sudden you get into a debate about whether or not something should be covered, and you get mad, and then you begin to pursue action by calling the state insurance company, state insurance agency, or what have you. Do you run the risk that insurance company may drop you as a result of any action that you may take against them just to get them to cover something that you believe should be?
Well, Harold, the first truth is yes. The second truth is that's the reason why there's laws in virtually all the states regarding retaliatory conduct against policyholders who make claims or hire professionals to help them out. And so it goes from the increase of there's NIC, National Association of Insurance Commissioner model laws with respect to increasing premiums on a retaliatory basis for dropping you, canceling your insurance policy, all these things which are wrong and that the regulators, if they know about, will jump on. The truth is many people are afraid to begin with because you just ask a question. And if it's in your mind, I guarantee you it's in a lot of your audience's mind right now. Boy, if I do this, I'll be in trouble. I just ought to go along with it. And especially for some companies like USAA who advertises to the military. And people just love USAA. But most of the time when I talk to them, they've had a claim experience once, twice, or maybe never. And when they have it and they're afraid, well, they're going to drop me. They're going to do this to me. Really? Well, there's laws that prevent it, you know, and it will take forever for you to make up for if you don't make this claim and get paid. And so it does take a little bit of courage. I'm not going to kid you about that. And you need to stand up for yourself. But the insurance industry on the claim side, I've literally read some statistics. If you deny the claim, 80% of the people will never call a lawyer and they'll never follow up. So if you think that you can deny the claim, they're not going to do anything, what's the downside to us? Really, you know? And so that's the reason why, you know, I preach in my book, don't let insurance companies get away with that. It's just bad consumerism. You need to stand up for yourself.
Interesting. So in this last minute or two, particularly as we are moving into the winter months, what is the best advice that you can give to policyholders who are concerned about the unknown natural disasters brought on by winter weather?
Well, if you read your insurance policies carefully up north, it's about all insurance policies that you've got to have protective safeguards to make certain that your pipes are not going to freeze. Okay? And that's easier said than done, especially if this year might be different because nobody's taking vacations and going anywhere. But when you typically take a vacation and you leave to go somewhere, hey, did we drain the pipes of water? You know, do we have the heat going on? You know, if you read statistics, you should always keep your home heated to 65 degrees. A lot of people, why should I keep it to 65 degrees if I'm not going to be there? Next thing you know, they leave, they go away, they come back a week later, and the pipes are broken and everything on the inside is completely wet. And the insurance company is saying, well, you didn't do your protective safeguard because you didn't drain the water, you didn't keep it hot. We're denying your insurance claim, and people are giving me a telephone call to see what I can go do to help them out. I mean, this is a very typical scenario. And it doesn't just stop there. I mean, if you're up, especially areas around the Great Lakes and things like that, you go up to Erie, Pennsylvania, go 15 miles inland. You know, they say, oh, we're going to have 2 feet of snow drop, you know, a large amount of snow, 2 feet. You go up 15 miles inside of Erie, Pennsylvania, you might have 10 feet dropped in on the Great Lakes. And it puts a lot of poundage all of a sudden with wet snow sitting on top of roof, and we have roof collapse claims. You know, and the question is, you know, what did you do to make certain that the roof, that the snow is not there? Because you don't want your roof to collapse and things like that. You know, and just taking as much, you know, protective safeguard as you can to keep especially snow off those areas. And then once it starts accumulating, make certain that you don't have ice damming that's going on, which can also destroy it. And that's hard to see because it's underneath and you have to get that snow off, take a look at it, make certain you don't have, you know, huge chunks of ice upon your roof.
So it sounds to me,
I always tell people, watch out for ice damming and watch out for broken pipes. Those are the two big things that typically cause most people problems up in the northern areas. And we get telephone calls at this time of the year.
Well, it sounds to me like you're suggesting do what you can so that you don't have to file a claim with your insurance.
The best claim that exists, this is crazy because, you know, I make a living from claims that get made and don't get paid. But I am telling you, and this is the reason for the book is, hey, I don't want people to go through a second disaster.
There you go.
I don't want that to happen at all. Make sure it doesn't happen to begin with. You don't need to call an attorney.
There you go. Attorney Chip Merlin, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate your information.
Harold, thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, December 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.